Romans 8, 28 through 30 says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who were the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." A story had been told that I read of a guy that was a museum kind of caretaker and was giving a tour, a sort of guided tour in a museum. And he would, on occasion, as museums have a wide variety of things in them, would take folks into a sort of darkened room, and he would shine a small light. They would stand in one place, and he would shine a light on this particular thing that was hanging, and they would only see, because of his flashlight, the one side of it is a mass of string and bits of color and apparent, you know, webbed mess of stuff, kind of like that. And he would ask people, "What do you think this is?" And of course, anybody that knows anything about, you know, crafty kind of yarn type sewing would know that, you know, usually it's hard to tell what's on the other side. And so everybody would sort of ask the, you know, the questions and think about it. And I can't tell what it is, or maybe it's this, or maybe it's that. Most of the time people would just say, "Hey, we don't know." And then he would tell them, "Walk with me over here," and they would go to the other side. And as they got to the other side, he would shine a spotlight, and this mass of jumbled color string would be clearly recognized right away. And it was this enormous tapestry. And he was showing them the one side that is, you know, got all the yarn and sewing stuff on it. And then as they saw the other side, it would all become clear, and the real work of the artists would be recognized. And I sort of wanted to use these visual aids because you can kind of see that, you know, whenever you look on the one side, you would have no idea what's on the other. And this is just the first example. The second example is one that is, well, they'll show it here in a second, but it is. So that's probably more like what they saw there on the, you know, on the wall with that little, you know, just flashlight. And it was just all this yarn. And like, you know, there's really no way to tell what's on the other side. And this is a good example because as you go to the other side of it, it's a bird and a tree. And you think, wow, how did that become like that? Here's the point of me showing you all of this craftiness, not to stir your desires to go sew something today, but ultimately just so that you would see that sometimes one side of it looks totally weird and doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But when you flip it around, it all becomes clear. And so it is with God and his ways. We often look at them and we ask questions. Like on the other side, we're looking at the jumbled mess and going, why is all this happening? What is this? What's going on? And truly, I think many of God's ways, we're not going to know until we enter into eternity what he was really up to. Sometimes we're blessed throughout our lives as we go through things and we say, "Lord, why is this happening? What is going on?" To get to a place that we recognize, sometimes over a large period of time, what God was really doing at that particular instance. We're called to trust in God in this journey of life. And today we see Paul emphasize things that are part of what I've titled this message is the Christian's calling. Now we're going to do this in two parts, and I really felt like the Lord wanted us to just focus in on verse 28 today. But the Christian's calling, Paul shows us here big picture things that have to do with the Christian's calling. And so the first one we're going to see today is part of the Christian's calling has to do with God's workings in verse 28. And then we'll see next week that the Christian's calling also has to do with God's designs in verse 29, and it has to do with God's comforts in verse 30, and we'll get into that next week. But verse 28 is one of those verses that for most of you, if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you know this is one of those great memory verses. It's one of those verses you hold on to and you think about and you meditate on. But Paul's purpose in sharing this was to help believers to draw confidence in God's sovereignty and his providence in the midst of all of the fleshly tendencies and difficulties that the Roman Christians were going through. Because for us, when we recognize that God is working behind the scenes, that he's taking whatever is thrown at us in this life and using it to help us grow, well, that's encouraging, isn't it? You know, when it comes to the book of Romans, remember, it's the explanation of the gospel. It's why the good news is good news. And as we've gone through this book, we've learned about how God offers us his grace. And in chapter 8, we've learned a lot about how we can have victory as Christians. Paul began in this chapter to talk about how we need to have future foresight and looking forward to the great things that God has planned. We need to have hope in our hearts in verses 23 through 25. And then last week we talked about having really heavenly prayer support, the Holy Spirit helping us to pray and praying for us. We need that prayer support. But today we're talking about the Christian's calling. It kind of turns sort of a hinge, if you will, or sort of turns a page as we get toward the end of chapter 8. And now he's talking about big picture things that really should be encouraging to us. And ultimately, at the core of this chapter, at the core of chapter 8 is the person of the Holy Spirit. Let me just say as a side note that for any of us to live the victorious Christian life, we have to not depend upon our own resources, our own workings, what we can do, but on God's working, on his abilities, on his Holy Spirit. And so the Spirit of God is mentioned numerous times in chapter 8 and on, because really the key for us as Christians is to lean upon the Lord for strength. Sounds simple, but how many times do we try to do it ourselves? We need the Lord. And so this section teaches us that we're really blessed with, and we're sort of crowned with the sovereignty and confidence in God's calling for us. And so that's what we're looking at today. It was Corrie Ten Boom. I quoted her last week, and she's just always got so many great things to say. But she, of course, had a lot of ministry throughout her life and learned a lot of great lessons. And then she said this. This is one of my favorites. She's kind of known for saying this. She said, "Look around and be distressed. Look within and be depressed. Look to Jesus and be at rest." I don't know about you, but this week looking around made me distressed more than any other week, I think, for a while. I think all of us would agree with that. You look within yourself. Sometimes it's easy to get depressed, discouraged, because we just, man, I don't have what it takes to you know, live this victorious Christian life. But then we look to Jesus, and you know what? We find peace, we find rest, we find comfort. It's so easy for us to look at circumstance, for us to look at the happenings, for us to look at, like we saw earlier, the backside of that tapestry and sort of be stressed out and upset over the different things going on in life. And Paul wanted the Roman Christians to know that in the midst of their difficulty, and by the way, even in chapter 18 and even earlier, he talked about just the difficulties that come from being a Christian and the suffering that can be entailed with that. You know, let's just be honest, how many times is it easy to do what's right? Sometimes there's suffering involved. And so it's easy for us to focus on the backside of the tapestry. And so Paul wanted to remind the believers about God's workings. Pay attention, don't miss this. Verse 28 is a promise. You know, they make these little thing called Bible promise books. They kind of stretch some verses to be a promise, but there are a lot of great promises in the Bible, and this is definitely one of them that you need to memorize and understand, because no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how messed up things can be, if God's allowed it, he has a purpose in it. He wants to do something in your life, and he ordains things. He allows things, sometimes things that he doesn't necessarily like, because he knows it has a greater good. And there can be things that you can learn from it. So God's workings in verse 28, notice again it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who were the called according to his purpose." Write this down and try to remember that the Christian is called to walk with the Lord and trust that everything on the journey with God, God is going to use to further his purpose in our lives. Remember, we talked a while back about Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God foreordained before the foundations of the world, that we should walk in them." In other words, the Bible basically says that we're God's artwork, workmanship, poema. We're this piece of material that God is molding and shaping. And ultimately, that's his purpose, is to mold and shape us. But remember, we learned also in the Bible, in 1 Thessalonians 4, it tells us God's will is sanctification in our lives. Without the Christianese, it's that we're meant to be purified. There's a lot of junk in our lives. In order to get that junk out, in order for us to grow and be purified, to be changed, there has to be resistance. Sometimes there has to be difficulty. And sometimes that's not something that we go looking for. It just sort of happens. But we can always rest assured that whatever does happen, God is wanting to use. Now, I want to encourage you. Sometimes you're not going to really know what God's doing with certain bad circumstances and difficulties. You might not know until you go to heaven. But sometimes we're blessed with a little glimpse of what God's doing in the process, in that journey. God's teaching, he's growing, he's changing us. God uses these happenings and these sufferings for his greater purposes in the lives of his kids. So Paul is really talking about here God's combination of circumstances to further his purpose in our lives. Now, I think for a lot of us, you know, I grew up in the 80s, and in the 1980s, there was this movie that came out. It's called The Karate Kid. Maybe you've heard of it. And I always like to tell this because one of the things that I really loved about this movie was Mr. Miyagi. And he was the guy that knew karate, and there was this guy, Daniel, that needed to learn how to, you know, protect himself, basically. And so he asked Mr. Miyagi to teach him karate. And so here's what happens. He starts showing him how to do chores around the house. Wax on, wax off. Paint the fence, you know, and all these things. And you know, he gets so frustrated at one point. He's like, hey, you're not teaching me anything. And all the time that he was doing those things, he was training in the art of karate. And so I like to think about God's workings as God Mr. Miyagi-ing us. That many times the things that are going on in our lives, he's teaching us and training us and growing us, and we just don't even realize it. Now, it is important to understand that verse 28 is one of the most memorable verses in all of the Bible. It's an immense statement that's meant to bring confidence to the Christian. Someone once said that you could look at, really, Romans chapter 8 as a huge, if you looked at the Bible as a huge meal, Romans chapter 8 would be ultimately the main course. And that Romans 8:28 would sort of be the main dish, the main entree, if you will, full of spiritual protein. Verse 28 is one of those things that we need to hold on to and remember. It's so important to chew on as a Christian. Because let's just be honest, how many crazy things happen to us all the time? We're sort of sitting around in the calm, waiting for the storm. Some of us are going through difficulties because of something someone else did, and it's causing us all kinds of problems. Some of us are going through health issues, financial issues. There's a lot of things that are happening. We say, why, God, does this have to happen? Again, we're looking at the backside of the tapestry. God can see the other side. And ultimately, this verse is important to hold on to. Some have even said that this verse is a soft pillow for a tired head or a tired heart, if you will. We need to lay our heads on this pillow quite frequently. Verse 28 is really important. On another note, you know, it's interesting because how many of you have ever met people that know the Bible, but they're not Christians? This is one of those verses that a lot of people know. They say, all things work together for good, but they don't read the rest of the verse. This is one of those things that is so well known, and many people try to hold on to this that aren't believers, but let me make it really simple for you. This was written to Christians for Christians. We can only, as born-again believers, having been saved by Jesus and promised eternal life, be people that are then sort of worked on by the Lord through all the happenings and circumstance of life. This is primarily and only focusing on Christians. This isn't meant to be something for anyone else other than those children of God who've been made children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. That's why he says those who love him, those who are the called according to his purpose. Of course, the called are those that the Holy Spirit convinces and enables to receive Christ. And many times when a person is coming to the Lord, it's been a long time the Holy Spirit has been coming and convicting and showing and helping them realize they need to trust in the Lord for salvation. For those that love him, what does that mean? Well, that's the idea that they've experienced the love of God. They've responded to it. When you've known the love of God and you've been born again, your life totally changes. You have a new perspective. Paul says here, and we know that all things work together for good. It's almost a reminder. Hey, look, if you've been born again, you've recognized as you've grown with the Lord that God will use all kinds of crazy stuff in your life to help you grow and to teach you and to make you more mature as a Christian. Of course, even in the midst of God using those things, it doesn't mean there's no pain. There's no difficulty. It's just that the Lord is using it in the process. God's sovereign ability to manage every aspect of our lives is demonstrated here in the fact, and Paul's telling us that all things work together for good to those who love God. Even those who are going through difficulties and sufferings, like we even talked about back in verse 18, God is able to make even those sufferings work together for good, for our good, and how God defines good. Now, I think it's important as you zero in on this text, as you look at verse 28, notice it says, all things. We know that all things work together for good. It doesn't say some things. It doesn't say occasional things work together for good. All things. Someone told me something one time as a new Christian that I've always remembered, that everything that happens in our lives is filtered through the love of God. So if God allows something to happen, that could be evil, but he's allowed it. If he allows something to happen, then there's a purpose that he has in it. Now, pause for a second. We're going to talk more about this next week, but the Bible says very clearly, and we learned this in the book of Isaiah, that God sees the beginning from the end, and from ancient times, he declares things that have not yet been done. All of that Bible language to say this, God is outside of time, and he sees the beginning and the end and everything in between as a whole. Nothing surprises God. He knows everything. Did you know that God can't learn? Because he knows everything. And he looks at all of human history as a whole and sees everything that's going to happen in between. And he already knows who is going to respond to the work of the Holy Spirit in their life. And he chooses those who've responded to that work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. It's an amazing thing to recognize that God's perspective is far outside of our intellectual understanding. Far outside of it. We can't even comprehend timelessness. We can't even begin to comprehend having every piece of information that could ever exist. But God does. Nothing surprises him. And ultimately, God knows those who are going to trust in his Son. And according to Ephesians chapter 1, they are given all of these blessings as a result of being in Christ. And when we come to know the Lord, he uses, Paul is telling us here, anything that happens in our life to help us, grow us, and for God's greater good and his purposes, his plan, everything according to the counsel of his will. So Paul says, even if there's groaning, even if there's suffering, God is working things out for good. Pay attention, because this promise is for those that know the Lord. If you know the Lord and there's something going on in your life, and I can honestly say statistically, we all can raise our hand. There's always something going on. There's always some difficulty. There's always some challenge. And we say, why do I have to deal with this in my life? There is a reason, and we may not ever understand it, but we're called to trust God with childlike faith and say, Lord, you're doing something with this. Paul is sharing some important information here. Now, verse 28 doesn't mean that everything is going to work out okay in this life. The teachings of Scripture, the Bible, doesn't say that if you walk with the Lord, your life is going to be great. And if you have enough faith, you're going to have a new car, a new house, lots of money, people surrounding you that love you, and everything's just going to be wonderful, and you're going to float around and just sing like an angel. No, as a matter of fact, if you decide to follow the Lord, there's going to be a lot of great blessings in your life. There's also going to be a lot of hard things. And sometimes God will allow even tragedy or difficulty to be a part of working out our ultimate good. It's interesting. Because did you know that God isn't interested in making us happy, but healthy? Spiritually healthy. And you know, when you think about the goals of those outside of a relationship with Jesus, this was my life until I was 19, that I wanted to be happy. I wanted to do everything that would make my life happy, make me feel good. And it was a never-ending losing battle. And God doesn't work that way. He's not interested in making us happy. He wants us to be spiritually healthy. And when we're spiritually healthy, you know what we have? Joy. Peace. You know how many people want joy and peace and are trying to find it somewhere other than God? And it won't work. There is so much blessing in this verse. The specific good, at least most of the time, we're not going to know until we go to be with the Lord. But sometimes we'll get small glimpses of how God uses difficulty in our lives. You know, I want to encourage you, if you're a Christian that's gone through a storm and you learned something and you felt like God really did something in your heart, don't keep it to yourself, please. Don't just show up to church and talk about the weather. Tell your other brothers and sisters what God's done. Because you know what? They will be inspired next time something bad happens in their life to say, God, what are you going to do with this? Because that's the promise we have as Christians. What an awesome thing it is. God works in all things, not just in isolated incidents for our good. There's so much evil in our world. Wait a minute, Pastor. Are you saying that God uses evil for good? Look, God doesn't orchestrate evil. He gave man free will. We live in a fallen world, and we see evil rear its ugly head every once in a while. This past week, we saw evil rear its ugly head. And we all wish that we could stop things that happen in our world. But God wants to use instances of evil to accomplish a greater good in the life of a believer. It's so prevalent. By the way, as a way of reminder, remember the Bible tells us that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. And there's a whole list of things there that Paul tells Timothy. But ultimately, in the last days, people are going to be known for doing the things that please them, whether that's violence, whether that's, it could be anything, right? The Bible warned us far in advance, and our only hope is in Christ. God works all things for good, but not all things necessarily work out. Suffering in our lives, difficulty, hardships, disappointments are still going to bring a sense of pain, a sense of loss. There's still going to be sorrow and shame over sin. And there's going to be grief that we experience. But it's all under God's control. And even the outcome of those things will end up being good for us as followers of Christ. God is working behind the scenes, if you will. But isn't that encouraging to know that God's working? That even though things are happening in our lives, we don't understand, we only see that part of that tapestry, the other side is a beautiful piece of artwork. You know, there are different examples throughout the Bible, and because of time's sake, I can't tell you all of them, but did you know that Paul the Apostle learned this lesson in his own life? If you're taking notes, write this down. In Philippians 1, verse 12, Paul told the Philippian Christians this. He said, now, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. What happened to Paul? Well, he was arrested. He was thrown in jail. He was mistreated. He was falsely accused. And all this bad stuff, Paul recognized that instead of it suppressing the good news of Jesus, it actually spread the good news of Jesus. And so he was blessed with a small glimpse of how something that seemed like an absolute train wreck was something that God used for the furtherance of his purposes. I love what he told the Corinthians later on in 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. He told them this, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why for Christ's sake I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, another great example in the Bible of those that have learned this lesson, that God is working behind the scenes, that those that follow the Lord, those that know the Lord, that there's things that God does with the things that we encounter. He allows things in our lives for a reason. The patriarch Jacob, maybe you've heard of him. His name was changed to Israel. You can read about him in Genesis chapter 40 and kind of read his story. But most of us know that he had, you know, 12 sons. And you know, one of his sons was Joseph, who he gave the coat of many colors. And, you know, he had another son named Benjamin. And he, you know, these sons, well, one day his brothers, who were jealous of Joseph, kind of, you know, threw him into a well, and then they sold him into slavery. And long story short, and I'm only paraphrasing for time's sake, he was sold into slavery into Egypt. And then his shady brothers go back to his dad and say, oh, he got eaten by a lion. And they sort of made up this story and put some blood, some lamb's blood on the coat of many colors. And, you know, Jacob thought that he'd lost his son. And he was terribly grieved over this. Well, if you sort of flash forward in the story, Joseph, because of his commitment to God, became kind of this character that really was able to find victory even in his circumstance. And instead of just being a slave, he became a leader. And even though he was falsely accused, even at one point in time, he ends up being second in command in Egypt next to Pharaoh. And during that time, there was a famine where his brothers and his father was, and they were looking for food. And so his brothers show up one day when he's in charge of all this. And because he wanted to give him a little bit of a hard time because they're his brothers, he, you know, says, hey, I think you're spies. And, you know, starts doing all this stuff to kind of mess with them. And, you know, eventually they find out. He tells them, I am Joseph, your brother, who you sold in slavery. And when you read the whole story, it really comes to a climax at chapter 50, verse 20, where he tells his brothers this, and this is where Joseph learned this lesson, when he said this, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to save many people's lives. The way we often quote that verse, or quote that principle, is what man intended for evil, God intended for good. Joseph could see how God took and allowed what happened in order to have a purpose down the road. Pause and consider that what you're experiencing in terms of your difficulty and your walk with the Lord, whatever's going on, could later on be a blessing for someone down the road. There's a lot of things we don't understand that we go through. But we can rest assured in this promise that all things work together for good. That phrase, work together, could be translated together energized. It's where we get the modern word for synergy. God, in his power and in his providence, causes things in this life, even those things that seem totally crazy and dangerous, to be synergized. They work together. In other words, there's this one bad thing, this bad thing that comes into your life, but when God puts his hand on that purpose, you know what happens? When they combine, they become something useful for his purpose in the future. Isn't that awesome to recognize? that no matter what gets thrown at us, God can put his hand on it and have this sort of redeeming quality with it. None of us have to go invite difficulty or hardship or trials in our lives. They're already going to be there. But it's so important for us to remember that when we hold on to this verse and know that God is working things according to his will, according to his ways, he's working on us, we can have peace, we can have rest. We just need to remember all things work together for good to those that know the Lord. Aren't you glad it doesn't say most things? Like if it said that, if Paul said that, like, hey, most things work together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose, because then we'd always have the question, well, is this one of those things? But it says all things. So no matter what's going on, there's no question. God wants to use those things to work in your life. Did someone else mess up that caused that thing? Maybe so, but that doesn't change the fact that God wants to use that thing in your life. It kind of changes how you look at things when they get thrown at you. Because although we might not enjoy having someone, you know, do something to us that's harmful, or, you know, somebody does something shady and we get the have to pay the bill or whatever it may be, we could say, you know what, Lord, that's a bummer, but God, you said all things work together for good. There are certain things that we need to know as Christians, and this is one of those things we need to know. We need to recognize that God is working behind the scenes. We're meant to have childlike faith. We don't understand it. And even if God tried to download that information to us, you know what would happen? Our brains would go, because we can't handle that much data. We can't handle that much information. So God says, Jesus really taught that we need to have childlike faith. Have you ever been amazed why, especially when kids are younger, when they become teenagers, they become a little bit more aware, but when they're younger, they sort of just believe some really crazy stuff, you know? It's like, well, you think I'm made of money? Oh, but, you know, I thought we could get that, you know? Kids just have this ability to believe some really wild stuff. And that's interesting that we're called to have childlike faith, to believe the Lord for great things. If you're going through something, remember, this is a promise for you. Even if you look at it and you say, this makes me uncomfortable, this makes my life hard, I wish it wasn't there, I wish this wasn't happening. How many of us have said this kind of stuff? But you know what? All things work together for good. The question is, are we going to learn what we're supposed to learn and get during that process? Or are we going to do what most of the time we try to do is wiggle our way out of any situation that's hard? And don't get me wrong, it doesn't mean we're gluttons for punishment. We go put ourselves in bad places all the time. But we wanted to say, Lord, teach me so I don't have to deal with this again. Help me grow. Do you love God? Have you come to know his love? If you know the love of God, if you've been born again, this promise is for you. If you know Jesus, then you are one of the called. Paul says we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, which is only because God sees everything as a whole, because nothing can surprise God. He already knows everybody who's ever going to get saved, ever, which we can't even possibly understand. But it isn't just that somebody got saved. The Bible says that the work of the Holy Spirit helps people come to Christ and come to the Lord. And so there's this dynamic that's going on. It's amazing. But God wants us to know his love. He wants us to know that we're called. He wants us to realize that he's working behind the scenes. And next week we're going to see him talk about how we're meant to be conformed to the image of Christ. This is God's design in verse 29. And then he even sort of finishes off in verse 30, talking about God's comforts, this idea that everything that's already going to be accomplished, we can rest assured God is going to accomplish it. One day we will be glorified. We will be brought into that place of being face-to-face with the Lord. We've talked about that before, but you know, understanding that God can work through whatever happens in our lives, it doesn't make things more pleasant. to experience, of course, in real time. It just causes us to rest in him and have joy, knowing that God will use whatever is thrown at us to help us grow and be a blessing to others. My encouragement to you this morning is, remember, God is working. Believe it. The Bible tells us this is true. I want to close with a story about a woman who, her name is Joni Erickson Tada. Maybe you've heard of her. She was swimming as a young girl and broke her neck and became a quadriplegic. And she became a Christian. And ultimately, when she became a Christian, she realized that, you know, God had allowed her condition because he wanted to use it in a very, very big way. And many times people would ask her, how can you believe in a God that allowed this to happen in your life? And, you know, she's just an amazing individual who uses her condition as a way of showing that she doesn't need everything from the horizontal. She gets a lot of what she gets from the Lord, from the vertical. And she said that she believes she's in the wheelchair, that, you know, it's not going to change until the Lord takes her home. So she's not, you know, trying to be healed. She's content with her condition, even though it's very difficult. But what's interesting about her testimony is that she has been quoted as saying that the greatest thing next to her salvation is her being in that wheelchair. That's a pretty big thing to say. And if you read her books and you hear her testimony, you'll even understand more. And they're very encouraging. But ultimately, this is what I wanted to share about her story. And she says this one thing that's so amazing. She says, God sometimes will allow what he hates in order to accomplish what he loves. God sometimes will allow what he hates in order to accomplish what he loves. And this is really a great description of the verse that we're studying here this morning. Sometimes God will allow what he hates in order to accomplish what he loves. And those who've trusted the Lord, those that know the Lord, there's a promise that we find in this verse. That God allows things he doesn't necessarily like or approve, but he allows those things ultimately to accomplish his work in our lives. Be encouraged. Your calling has a lot to do with God's working behind the scene. And whatever comes your way, know that if the Lord has allowed it, there's something to learn in the process. It's okay to be a person that's sort of broken as a result of those things. You know, sometimes we're grieved and we're upset and our emotions are running rampant, but we know that ultimately God is going to accomplish his purpose in our lives in allowing it. What a great promise in the Bible. What a great thing for us to remember as we walk with the Lord. And what an important thing that we need to remember in order to have victory in our Christian lives. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your desire to speak to us today. Lord, thank you that you use the things that happen in our life to accomplish your purpose and your plan. Lord, help us to trust you, even though we only see one side of the tapestry. Help us, Lord, to know that you're working with an eternal perspective, a different perspective in mind. Lord, thank you for all that you do, all that you're doing, all that you will do. And Lord, we just pray that we would rest in you, find our joy in you, and Lord, that we would know your peace. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We give you our hearts today in Jesus' name. Amen.